Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, new cast member safety changes, more attractions return ahead of schedule, single rider lines have returned.
Avengers Campus is more open, the last Disney hotel is about to reopen. We talked to Evan about his time as a cast member and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello everyone, welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at doweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 30th, 2021. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to both Tara T and Cindy B for becoming supporters of our show. Your support helps make DL Weekly possible. The supporter Discord chat has been a wonderful source of Disney magic from all of our supporters. We have things going on like theme topic days, movie nights, there's a book club, and so much more. If you would like to become a weekly tier yourself and have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
It's that time again where we head on over and get the latest Disney news from around the rest of the Disney universe from Eric over at Concierge.
Hello everyone, this is Eric Johnson with Concierge and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our tour in Walt Disney World, where the biggest spectaculars are coming to town in October. All part of the most magical celebration of Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, guests will experience several new shows across Disney parks. Disney's Animal Kingdom gets a new show in the Discovery River Amphitheater to replace the Rivers of Light show. Disney Kite Tales will be a fun expression of your favorite Disney friends as kites and wind catchers. It's nice to see Disney try another idea inside that little lagoon outside the Everest attraction. Magic Kingdom guests will want to meet each other down on Main Street for the new Disney Enchantment fireworks, also starting October 1st. While guests can experience new music and lighting effects like they do with any new spectacular, they might not be prepared for the transformation of Main Street through elaborate projection effects. If you haven't seen this in Disneyland before, get ready for the ultimate in immersion during your next fireworks show. You'd think the biggest and best show would be at the Magic Kingdom, right? Epcot's Harmonious will also get its first runs on October 1st. It's elaborate. It has giant floating barges. Its name no longer emphasizes the U.S. at the end. Seriously, they wanted to make it sound like a global thing with the U.S. in capitals, but everybody thought it read like United States, you know? You know what had a great capital? Illuminations. The N was big, emphasizing the nation's part. Ah, that was a good show. Hop a quick flight to the Eastern Seaboard for one of the newest adventures by Disney in New England. Stay a bit closer to home for 8 days and 7 nights in and around Vermont. Stay at the Trapp Family Lodge. Yes, that Von Trapp family. Explore scenery through zipline tours. Dine on Lake Champlain. Sail a schooner. Take a ride in a carriage around Acadia National Park and do all of this while enjoying fine New England cuisine. Through your exciting week, Disney guides will make sure your every need is met. Adventures by Disney has announced multiple private adventures starting next year as well. These smaller tours to Vietnam, Laos, England, France, New Zealand, South Africa, and many other locations give you the Adventures by Disney experience with a smaller group of up to 12 guests. You still get a Disney guide with that exceptional service Adventures by Disney is known for, but you also get additional flexibility and personal attention. Well, that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over and visit the Facebook pages and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for that information. And like Eric said, if any of you guys want to go see or take part in any of these things that he talked about, head on over to concierge.com and make sure you let him know that DL Weekly sent you.
Well, Tag and I and James and Vern are all getting so excited about our upcoming trip.
So excited.
All have little countdowns going. So anyways, we're still in the double digits, but it's getting closer and closer. We can almost feel it. So speaking of our trip, of course, that means we're going to have an official weekly tier meetup while we're out there, too. The meetup, for those that can join, will be on Sunday, July 18th at 1 p.m. The meetup will be held in downtown Disney so that all weekly tiers can join. Doesn't matter if you have tickets to the park. You don't have to try and get reservations to the park. We try to make it as easy as we could. So again, 1 p.m. in downtown Disney, and this place to be will be over by the AMC Theater, that kind of outdoor seating area. We met up there for our Touch of Disney meetup, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
So again, please stop by if you can, July 18th at 1 p.m. If you are not available that day, but you happen to be in the parks and do spot us, please don't be afraid to come over and say hello. We love connecting and chatting with Weekly Tears.
Well, now let's get to the news.
With the higher temperatures on the horizon for Southern California, a new safety policy couldn't come soon enough for cast members. Fully vaccinated cast members can now go mask-free outdoors. Masks are still required for all cast members indoors for now. Physical distancing for cast members indoors or outside has also been phased out. This will greatly help in tight spaces like kitchen areas around the resort.
So this is great. The kitchen thing is a big deal.
Oh,
because
that's a huge deal.
Because yeah. Before, they had to still have 6 feet, and I've never been in one of the kitchens at Disneyland, but I have heard that, you know, they're not very large.
Well, you know, I've not been in a Disneyland kitchen either, but just think of any restaurant kitchen. When I was younger, I worked at a fast food chain, and, like, it's just this little strip, so I can't imagine having, like, the fry station versus the grill versus the, like, basically, you're kind of not, I don't want to say on top of each other, but you're definitely not 6 feet away from each other. So I can't imagine the volume of food that those kitchens were having to try and pump out while staying distant. So,
yeah. I'm just glad people will be able to get closer together for that aspect. Mm-hmm. Of course, again, like we said, with the heat and stuff, it's going to be so nice that cast members who are outside, we can see their smiling faces again. I'm sure that they're just going to be more comfortable. You know, I feel like it's, at this point, it's only a matter of time until indoors vaccinated cast members will be able to not have masks on either. They haven't announced anything, but I just feel like with the rate at things changing, it shouldn't be too much longer. So, super awesome. It'll be nice to, again, see people's faces and everything like that. And it should increase or decrease your time to get food. With all of the changes recently to all the safety protocols around the resort, Mice Chat posted a guide to all of the current policies. These include the new cast member guidelines we just talked about in this episode, as well as theme park reservations sticking around for the foreseeable future, face coverings no longer required anywhere except for transportation like buses for fully vaccinated guests, unvaccinated or partially vaccinated guests must still wear masks, physical distancing is no longer required, ride capacity is back at 100% without plexiglass shields, dining capacity has also been increased, indoor queues are back in service, both parking structures are open, out-of-state guests are allowed, no temperature checks are required, and entertainment has started to return.
Yeah, so these are all things, of course, that we have been reporting on as these changes have been happening, but it was a really nice article for people to see all of these changes and see what the current state of things is, you know, right now. Just a nice snapshot. So it was a really nice, great article. So if you or anyone you know will be visiting the resort soon, please check out the link in our show notes so you can take a peek at the updated rules here.
And they do keep updating it, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like, they'll tell you at the top what they've updated and what's been updated last.
Well, and it's nice because this is saying what's changed. So we've gotten used, like, we got used to temperature checks. Well, if you went to the, like, Disney's website, they do have that nice drop down of, you know, like, what's going on now. But they're only listing the current stuff. So they're not saying these things are gone away or whatever. They just don't list them anymore. So I see how, if you've been in the know this whole time, that maybe, you know, you're assuming some of these things are still there that aren't still there. So this is a good, yes, this is here, no, this is not, yes, this is here, no, this is not, list.
Yeah, it's nice to have one place, and the way that they explained it on their site also seems very clear. So it's not like, because sometimes Disney, like, it's very kind of like legal wording almost. So this way it's more in a casual tone that maybe is a little easier for everybody to understand.
Another sign that things are coming to an end with the pandemic is the return of the single rider lines at a few attractions this past week. Space Mountain, Indiana Jones, Smuggler's Run, Star Tours, and Splash Mountain at Disneyland, plus Radiator Springs Racers, the Incredicoaster, and Grizzly River Run over in Disney California Adventure all now allow single riders. This should help get as many guests on attractions and out of the lines faster.
Yeah, this was one of those things that people were wondering once they got rid of, you know, the physical distancing and everything like that. When would the single riders come back? Well, now they have. So it's really nice because, you know, especially things like Radiator Springs Racers, I feel like that's one that constantly has single rider availability just because of how the cars and the seats and everything are set up. Grizzly River Run's another one. So it's really cool to see that these attractions are back. And for those of you, I don't think I've ever done a single rider line.
I've not, because I've always gone with a group, and I've always had at least one person want to go on an attraction that I was going on, so I've never tried a single rider line.
I've heard with Radiator Springs Racers that if you're in a small group, like two people, you might even end up in the same car together.
Right.
So
just sitting in like one in front of the other.
Yeah, and it cuts way down on having to wait in those lines. So, a good selection of single rider lines. I you know, there's a lot of people I know from our community and stuff that go to Disneyland by themselves, or people that just do day trips by themselves, that kind of things. So this is great for them. They can really maximize their day by doing single rider. Well, some attractions have reopened earlier than expected in the last week. Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters and Storybook Land Canal Boats both welcome guests a day or two early. Storybook Land Canal Boats look great and have a number of their elements updated during the closure. Buzz Lightyear has not been updated, and we have seen reports online that some of the attraction vehicles have been tagged out of service. Hopefully maintenance gets to them soon and gets Buzz back to 100%.
Yeah, you know, that was a little surprising because all of the attractions, when they came back, like, better than what we had remembered them being. So I was surprised that poor Buzz was having some issues. And I also thought that they had Buzz Lightyear closed because it was doing, like, the normal routine maintenance, not closed because of social distancing. Because remember, we were wondering about that because Toy Story Midway Mania reopened, but Buzz didn't. So we're like, well, then it must not be a distancing thing because they're very similar. So, it's interesting. So, poor Buzz. I hope he can get back to normal.
Well, and the attraction in general works fine. It's just you may have to wait a couple minutes for them to put you in a buggy that works, basically.
Yeah. And I do feel like this attraction maybe could do with a bit of an overhaul and some much needed TLC, just because it is,
How about Storybook Land?
More dated. I am very excited for Storybook Land. So excited. That's such a magical, just like enchanting ride.
I feel like it's one of those attractions that I don't go on every time I go, but I don't know why. Like, I should. I think it's because the line sometimes moves a little slow.
The line can be a little slow moving. And it doesn't feel like you're going very far because it's like the Peter Pan attraction.
Sure.
Like that queue where it's just a bunch of zigzags back and forth. So you don't really feel like you're moving up in the line.
It looks good, though.
It does look good. Storybook Land is one of those attractions that, I'll admit, a few years ago, I just didn't even think about it, or like didn't even know, you know, just kind of went past it without even thinking. Well, ever since I've experienced it, it's now a must do because it's just so charming.
That's kind of how I feel about Casey Jr. I don't know why, but I love riding Casey Jr., especially if you can get in the back.
I prefer I like the boats better.
Yeah. Well, I do both.
Oh, yeah, I do both too, but yeah, I'm a big fan of the boats. And one of these times I want to do the boats at night. The Storybook Land Canal boats at night.
We should try to do that on our trip.
We should.
Plus, it'd probably be more comfortable, like, not being in the sun. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. Some great news for guests who want to walk around and see Avengers Campus. The land is now open to everyone, and the gates that were in place to control the amount of people that were coming in and out of the new land have also been removed. Guests can now freely enter the land from any of the three entrances. Those entrances, again, of course, are over by Guardians of Galaxy, the one that's kind of behind that you can enter back from, like, Luigi's Rock and Rollsters, and then the main entrance, which is just across from, like, the Wine Country Trattoria area.
Mm-hmm.
All open now. This is making the ability to get food and to enter stores also much easier with little to no wait on most days.
Which is what I was saying.
Excited.
I was saying, if they got to the point that they could let people in, because they were saying that there wasn't even a wait for getting into stores now, which is great. Mm-hmm. People aren't freaking out about the food as much, so you can order.
It's the hype is leveling out, which we talked about. The, you know, opening weekends are always going to be a disaster because so many people are trying to get into the same space. So it's nice that it's leveling out. Selfishly, I'm happy that it's leveling out now, because then it's going to make our time in there more enjoyable. Plus,
it's
just going to be great, because I think now, we've got the leveled out thing, so we don't have to wait in a queue to get into the land. But they also now have the performance schedules listed, which will be nice, so you don't have to kind of guess. I can't wait to see the Doctor Strange show. I still have not
done
any sort of spoilers with it, and I am most excited to see the area at night. I've heard that Avengers Campus at night is
I want to see the Stuntronic. Awesome. I'm very excited for the Stuntronic of
Spider-Man.
I kind of
wish that the Stuntronic was not up on a super tall building so I could see it better. You know what I mean? I wish I could see it from closer.
Yeah, I suppose. Now, something that came up in one of the comment sections that I was reading today, and I was curious to know what you thought, is some people were saying that when do you think, and this is not related to Avengers Campus, but it is related to a new, in air quotes, land, when do you think Disneyland will get rid of the boarding groups for Rise of the Resistance?
I don't know. I was thinking about that, actually, because it seems
like they have to get rid of it at some point.
Oh, yeah, they'll get rid of it at some point. But it's, I guess I don't know when the correct time to do that would be. Because, the boarding groups still are filling up every single day. But I feel like it's a lot of repeats. Because, when we're there, I'm sure, knowing you, you're going to want to try for a boarding group every day that we're in Disneyland for Rise, which
I'd
is
like
whatever,
to.
You know, which is what most people are doing. I feel like it's again, leveling out. It's just weird with Rise since it opened pre-pandemic, and then we have the pandemic, and then they had to kind of continue on with it. I would say within the next couple of months.
You think so? Mm-hmm. The only reason I don't think so in that short a time frame is Walt Disney World still has the boarding groups for it, and it's been open since July.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I think it was open before ours. Yeah, it was open
it
before
was
ours.
It was open before ours.
So, I don't know.
I don't really see... I don't see the reasoning behind the boarding groups, unless it's just the other issue too would be, how do I want to say this? Is that it keeps, they're still having issues with it. So
yeah.
They can kind of control, they're still having issues with the attraction itself. So the boarding groups allow them to have better control over the guest flow to the attractions while they're working out those issues. So maybe they're keeping the boarding groups in place for that reason and not because of popularity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm interested to see when it becomes a normal attraction and doesn't
it's
have that.
It's just interesting to me because we didn't have that with Smuggler's Run.
One of the
you
things...
had a boarding group to get into the land, but not a boarding group to get on Smuggler's.
One of the things that I heard as a suggestion that I thought would be a really good one is do kind of like they were doing with Indy, where maybe your first hour or two until the line becomes a certain length. They said... Once the line got to, let's say, an hour and a half long, then you institute the boarding groups. And then later in the day, if demand goes down, then you could have a standby line again. I think that's a great way to do it. And then wean people off.
Do a virtual queue.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to get rid of it and just see what happens.
Well, speaking of lions and stuff like that, for those of you visiting the park soon, like us, the crowds look to be great. Even though more people are allowed in the parks now, the wait times for attractions have been lower than they were before the increase in capacity for the park. This, along with cast members getting back into the swing of things, has made the process much smoother.
You know, it makes sense, though, right? Because thankfully, I feel like it was just perfect timing for all this stuff because, they were able to do things like not have... not have to worry about distancing. So the queues are shorter and they probably move a little smoother because things like Haunted Mansion, you can now fully utilize things like the stretching room. You can also have the ride itself be full capacity. So the attractions are doing what they were designed to do, which is eat up all the people. And the other nice thing too is getting rid of the rule of not being able to queue indoors because that was, again, just spilling people out into walkways and such. So it was great timing for all of these things to happen because it felt like for a while, that we were having certain restrictions and then maybe one would fall off, but it seemed like poof, all of the things that made attractions be able to do what they were designed to do, which again, eat people, all were lifted at the same time. So it's So yeah, the masking thing was fine, but the fact that they got rid of social distancing, that they could get rid of the dividers, all that stuff going away at the same time just did wonders for wait times.
I'm just very happy because it seems like the attractions are good. It seems like the dining isn't as hard as it was for there for a while. Just crowds like on Main Street. I keep seeing pictures of people posting like they'd come in at like midday and like Main Street's like empty.
Empty. Yeah. It's really
just stick that way for a couple more weeks, Disney.
I think it will because they're not because you got to remember capacity still isn't 100%. So now you've got the park, like the operation side, closer to being 100% or normal, but the volume of people still aren't there. So these things like the Haunted Mansion are eating people up. So there's going to be like no wait time because there's just not enough people for it. Sure. You know what I mean? There's
well, that plus more attractions opening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then those people are spread out more.
Yep. And I think another thing, too, that's probably helping is the fact of not having everything needing to be mobile order as far as dining option goes, because now people are able to sit at places like Rancho del Zocalo and, you know, kind of follow their stomachs a little more and maybe linger because you don't have this, like, need to quick get everything planned out and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know there's some planners out there, but I'd much rather just take it easy.
But I feel like it was a different type of planning because you also couldn't eat indoors in the beginning of all this. You had all the you had to eat outdoors too.
Yeah, so. At least now you can get out of the sun into some air conditioning and eat if you wanted to.
Well, there have been some rumors that cast members that generally work on parades have been called back to work. This could mean the return of the new parade. Well, new to last year's parade, Magic Happens sometime later this summer. Again, if you remember, poor Magic Happens only had a couple of weeks to run before the pandemic shut the parks down.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what this parade is. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be back before we're there.
I don't know. I keep having this weird feeling, and maybe I'm crazy. That could possibly be, but I just really think that some sort of something is going to happen on the 17th. I feel like they're holding something back to do on the 17th. Would it be something as big as a parade? I don't know. Could it be the Dapper Dans returning on the 17th? Oh. I feel like there's going to be something special that they could have maybe brought back a little sooner, but they decided to wait to do it on the 17th of July. I thought for Disneyland, I really thought they weren't going to do the 4th, and I thought they'd bring the fireworks back for the 17th for the anniversary. I just feel like it'd be such a cool way to celebrate their... Granted, it's their 66th anniversary. They weren't able to go all out for the 65th last year because they were closed.
Right.
So I just feel like they've got something up their sleeve for the 17th.
You know, there's also rumors abound that by the end of summer, Fantasmic will be back.
Both of these things, I just can't even wrap my head. I know we've talked to previous cast members in parades and cast members in Fantasmic, and it just sounds like such a big, like a lot of work to get the whole thing put together.
Yeah.
'Cause all the, you know, there's a, especially Fantasmic, there's a huge cast for that. Plus all sorts of like ships need to be going and this, there's all sorts of mechanics and whatever. So it's just, there's a lot that goes into those productions.
My counter to your July 17th parade guess is the people
parade,
we've talked to. Well, the parade, if let's say you say parade.
Okay.
If going by people we've interviewed previously, it takes about a month. Well, they're just now getting called back. That's less than a month. Unless they're the people that were there and they get everybody back who was trained for it already.
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope that there's something.
I don't know. I feel like there's something. Like I said, it might just be like the Dapper Dance because that would be
That would still be cool.
Like, such a great thing to do on the 7th. There's something. I just feel like there's something that's brewing.
The Disneyland Hotel will begin a phased reopening this week as the Fantasy Tower opens to guests. Along with the One Tower, the two pools and the monorail water slides will reopen, as well as the Fitness Center. The Tongariro Terrace and Trader Sam's will also reopen to the public. I know you're very excited about that one.
I am very excited. We've been to Tongariro Terrace. As some of you guys know, you were there. We had our first DL Weekly, official DL Weekly meetup at the Tongariro Terrace during D23 in 2019. But I'm really sad to say this. I have not been inside Trader Sam's, and I really, 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 really want to. So I'm hoping that we can make it over there during this upcoming trip, because I just really want to go inside. It just looks so cool. Construction has now started in the park to prepare for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. The facades of the Toontown Five and Dime and the Gag Factory have been demolished to make way for the new entrance for the attraction. Once completed, the new El Capitan Theater will take their place as the new entrance.
So people were kind of surprised because usually Disney does a lot of this stuff, you know, after hours, but this week they were doing some construction during park being open, tearing down the front of this thing. So, I don't know. I'm excited. As the we loved Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway when we saw it in Disney World. So I'm excited that there's progress happening. I did like the Five and Dime and the Gag Factory.
Those were such fun shops. Such fun shops.
Yeah. So, you excited? It's coming.
I am excited. And I'm excited to see, I'm excited to see the progress when we're there, too.
Before you know it, it'll be 2022 and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be open.
Do we know when in 2022? Summer?
I assume it's going to be, early summer, like they try to shoot for. Yeah. The other thing maybe for your wedding. I think it'll be a little bit later than that, but you never know. The other thing is, I wonder if they're going to do a virtual queue for that. Like they seem
they're
to be
gonna,
doing
I
with
feel like
boarding
they're
going to
have to, because think of if the queue overspills. So, right, think of in Hollywood Studios, they have a ton of space in front of that attraction to wind the queue around if and when needed. And it was needed when we were there because they had, not only was it a brand new attraction, but we still had social distancing. So everybody was spaced out. So, of course, that queue was a mile long. But think of Toontown. Unless you've got a very large indoor queuing section for this version of the attraction.
Right.
Where are you? You can't. There's not very much space for people to kind of spill out
into
the land. So it'll be interesting.
I mean, it's a good thing there's not that many other attractions in Toontown because you could just switch back the whole land.
Yeah, but then the first place you're switchbacking is the eating space for all the Pluto's dogs and the little food stands.
That's
there.
True.
And then you're gonna bump up really quickly. You're gonna bump into
the cartoon spin,
or you're gonna go over to Mickey and Minnie's house, which also have lines depending on the day. So yeah, it's kind of that'll be interesting how that falls.
Well, we previously reported that mobile scan and go shopping was being tested at World of Disney in Downtown Disney. Now, that system has been expanded into the parks at the Emporium at Disneyland and Elias and Company in Disney California Adventure. Guests will use the Disneyland app or scan a QR code in the store to enter the system, then grab a mobile checkout shopping bag and scan the barcodes with their smartphone cameras to add them to their cart. Once done, guests check out through the app and show a QR code to a cast member on the way out of the store at a designated mobile checkout exit.
This is crazy to me. And I feel like it's a really bad thing for those of us that have no,
control.
Control. Yeah, because zip, zip, zip. It's almost like you're not even spending money if you're just scanning and going like that.
But. Well, I think about, you know how a lot of times to check out, especially towards the end of the night when everything's crazy.
Yes.
That you have that time in that line to think, do I really need this? Or I don't know. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get to the front, you can tell the cast member, I decided against this.
Right.
With this, I feel like you'll scan it, you fill them back, and then you'll forget about it.
Impulse buy.
And then you will head out the door, and then you'll get back to your hotel or wherever, and you look and you're like, oh.
Surprise.
I guess I have a lot more stuff. You do have to get their bags, though, because they're a clear shopping bag.
Which makes sense. The other thing that this would be, that I would maybe use this for, is if I just need one thing. If I'm going into, I forgot to pick up whatever. Or
ears.
I'm just looking to see if they have a specific set of ears. You know, it'd be nice to be able to run in for the one or two items and just scan and go with the one or two items. But, my normal shopping, I don't think I'd utilize this for, my normal shopping,
maybe
when I'm perusing and browsing.
I feel like I would at the end of the night, because then you don't have to worry about because the lines are so long at the end of the night. So for me, I think I might use it, but when we were in Walt Disney World and we were at World of Disney, and I waited in that huge line for the two things I had, and we were just trying to buy bags. If they had a spot where I could have just scanned that and gone, it would have been great.
Yeah, so I could see why this would be beneficial. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's something I would use every time.
So we are streaming into our supporter Discord chat, and Ace and Jill have both been at the parks recently. And Ace said that his wife used it the last time he was there, and they avoided a really long checkout line. It was great. Jill just came back from Disneyland and said that she also used it the last time, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, so I could, like I said, I like the experience of shopping and perusing and waiting in the line to like really think about if, do I really need this other T-shirt or these pins or I don't know, whatever. So, you know, so sometimes I think it's good. Other times, maybe not so good. I like the option, though. I'm all about the options. Hollywoodland is the place to be for Avengers photo ops. A new Black Panther photo op has appeared this week in the land. It is the same setup used for the previous Black Panther meet and greet, but without the character this time due to social distancing.
I don't really have much to say about this.
No, it's interesting, right? Because it's like the, it'd be like, well, they kind of have this, right? They've got Captain America's shield that sometimes you can find Captain America hanging out by, but not always. It's still a fun, like,
the WandaVision was good.
Stand in front of and take photos with. The Black Panther one, you know, it's just another thing, right? Why not? I like it.
Yeah.
It brings a little bit of something to poor Hollywood land that desperately needs something. So
Hollywood definitely needs something.
Yeah, it's a nice way to use the space while it's not really being used, if that makes sense.
Side note, do they still have the Backlot Premiere shop over there, don't they?
They still have the Backlot Premiere shop.
That's right, because it's got a lot of Avengers Campus stuff in it. Yeah.
Which is also a good use of that space back there for now, too.
I wonder what they're using that other soundstage for, the one that's next to the Hyperion.
I don't know.
So I heard this week that they are using the Opera House for orientations,
for training. Stuff, yep.
Why don't they use the Hyperion? Because they could have great moments with Mr. Lincoln, and they could put people in the Hyperion.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe they're doing something with the Hyperion. Yeah, they don't want people to see it.
Maybe there's something going on in there, too.
I hope so. Coco the Musical. Just a quick follow-up to something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. The food waste trash cans have been rolled out to more locations around the resort recently. So if you have any food waste, please dump it in these new receptacles so it can be recycled and not just end up in the landfill.
Yeah, the photo that DLNewsToday.com shared was actually of the new food waste receptacle in Tomorrowland over by Galactic Grill. So again, just a reminder, what you're supposed to do with the food waste is, yes, you put, so like say you didn't finish your fries, instead of throwing
your turkey leg
or your turkey leg. Oh, you could put your turkey leg bone in it. Like the, yeah. So anyway, so any uneaten food, they are asking that you put into this new bin and not just the garbage so that they can recycle it.
Yeah. I like the idea.
I don't think, if anyone knows, I'd be interested, because I don't think I've read or seen anywhere how they're recycling it. Like, what happens to it once it's become recycled?
I wonder if they turn it into, like, compost.
Yeah, I don't know if it's compost, if it's, like, a biofuel thing, or if they're, like, using it for, I don't know. There's several different things they could do, but I haven't seen specifically what it is that they're using the waste for.
You know how you could find out? When we're there, we could probably ask
City Hall. At City Hall. You're right. We've got to write that down, otherwise I'm going to forget. On June 27th, which was Global Pride Day, Salt and Straw donated 5% of all of its proceeds to local LGBTQ+ charities. For the downtown Disney location, Reach LA was the charity chosen. Reach LA works with young LGBTQ people of color to increase self-sustainability by encouraging creative expression, supporting safe spaces, and promoting health and wellness.
Side note, June 27th was also producer James's birthday,
which I thought was funny.
I thought you were
telling me side note. I'm like, what did I mess up?
No. I love the fact that they donated their proceeds to this thing.
I think that's so cool. And the fact that it's local.
Yeah. And so there's other Salt and Straw locations, mm-hmm. and they donated to their local things like that. So that's really awesome. I wish more places would do that more often, because there's all these charities and stuff that need, you know, funding and stuff for things. And it's so easy to have, you know, like recently when I've been going to like McDonald's, I think Chipotle has a thing too, where you basically just round up and it goes to the charity. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. It makes it so easy, because it's like, you know, it's less than a dollar,
right.
But like that adds up.
Exactly.
Another fun treat has made its way to Bing Bong's Sweet Stuff in Pixar Pier. The new Forky Cake Pop looks like a sweet version of the character himself. The cake pop is sweet vanilla covered in white chocolate and decorated to look like Forky. Reviews have said it's pretty moist and very sweet, so be aware of this. Forky costs $5.49.
So now that you have tried a Disney cake pop, because we tried one at Touch of Disney,
yeah.
Do you think you would want to try the Forky cake
pop? I want to try the Forky one. It's I love so how cute. It looks. I wish on the stick they would have put his little arms and feet.
Oh, missed opportunity. Maybe that'll happen. Because, yes, you're right. That would have been...
It looks good, though.
Oh,
it's so cute.
Gosh, I can't believe you said that. Because, yeah, he needs... Yeah, they missed an opportunity there by not giving him his little arms and his little legs. Maybe we'll have to bring our own little pipe cleaner and wrap it around.
Oh, goodness.
The stick.
And then get, like, was his feet?
It's a popsicle stick. Like a broken popsicle stick.
Do you have crafty stuff? Do we need to do this?
I think we're going
to
have to
do this. And then we need to show it to the cast members and be like, this is how it should be.
I think we're going to have to do this. Oh, man.
It's so cute.
Super cute.
Psst. Avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. Here come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Well, welcome to Trivia Land. We got some doozies for you this week, hopefully. So our first question is, prior to COVID, where in the resort could you meet everyone's favorite Sailor Duck, Donald?
Where could you? You could meet Donald at Donald's. He would be at his
Donald's
house.
Boat.
Yeah, at his boat.
In Toontown.
Yeah. It's cute because it's like a little playground thing and he was in the
It was like, a little playground base. Thing, but
oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Toontown.
I was just reading about that today because Mickey's at Mickey's house, Minnie's at Minnie's house, Donald and Goofy, like, they're all at their houses in Toontown, which I hope they keep that, because I like the fact that you can see everybody at their houses.
I think they are, because they're doing distance greets right now, so, like, Mickey's standing...
But I'm saying after all this.
Oh, I think they will.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, our second question from listener Donna S. When is Donald Duck's birthday?
Oh, it's a Donald Duck themed one.
Oh, you caught on fast.
I feel like it's...
That's a hard one.
June, July. I feel like it's summer. I feel like it's either like June, July, or August, but I don't...
I want to say March.
You're going to say March?
March of 1934.
Do we have to know the day?
Yeah.
And the year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
When's his birthday?
March 1st, 1934.
This is, like, ridiculous. I have, of all things, some sort of cup.
That has his birthday on it?
That has it on there. Yeah,
well, you should know it,
then. Donald Duck facts. I should know it, but I don't know.
Shame on you. Shame on your family.
Donald Duck just so underappreciated, even in Teresa's cups.
It was, like, a cup I had growing up.
James, did you see a couple weeks ago we were talking on the stream about, I think Lee sent it to us, that was the... It was like the video of like a duck that looked up to Donald Duck from like the comics. And then the duck went to Disney World and got to meet Donald. And it was like the best.
I don't remember seeing that, but that sounds fantastic.
I'll put the comment here and I'll make sure we post a link in the show notes so you guys can see that.
I think it's June 6th. I don't know the year though. Or maybe it's June 9th. I think I'm going to go June 9th. The year, 1936.
36, okay.
All right, question number three is, what's his middle name?
Fauntleroy. This I remember from the cup.
Fauntleroy?
Yeah, Donald, like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but yeah, Fauntleroy.
Interesting.
Tig, I'm guessing you're just hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
on that
Fauntleroy
one.
Sounds great. from my cup have, that I have at
I
home.
I shouldn't have gotten excited and just seen what random thing your brain came up with.
I don't know. I probably would have said something like George.
George.
Yeah, Donald so th- George. Thanks to Rebecca M. for that question, in case I wasn't clear on the first time. Our last one. Donald is one of the many characters riding the Mark Twain during Fantasmic. Can you tell me who else is on the ship?
Who?
What do you mean?
Everyone?
Who?
Everyone.
Oh my gosh. Well,
no,
we've got,
no, no.
We've got, let's think. There's, we can do this.
There's,
let's think. We've got Steamboat Mickey.
Yeah, hold on. I've got
we've
one
got
in my head. I just got to think of his
Prince
name.
Naveen.
You're going to make
Tiana.
Fun of me for this one. It's Woody and Buzz.
Woody, Buzz, and Jessie on the back.
Yep. And then there's also the
Green
princesses.
Army men.
So there's all the people who appeared earlier.
Yep,
so there's the princesses.
We've got Snow White and Prince Charming.
Belle.
We've got.
And the Beast.
Belle and the Beast is a I think
Ariel
I think Aurora
and Prince Eric
and yep and I think Aurora and Prince Philip are on there.
Okay.
I also think we've got
I think we have Baloo, don't we? I think we have Baloo.
I think Stitch might be on there.
Stitch? Yeah, I think Stitch was on there. Oh, we've
the,
got
oh, the mice from Cinderella.
We've got the chimney sweeps from from
and Bert and Mary Poppins are both on there, but we've got the little mice, like the little female sewing mice from Cinderella
Are
on there. But I don't think Cinderella is on there.
Aladdin.
Yep, Aladdin
and Jasmine.
And Jasmine. Mm-hmm.
I'm like imagining the boat going by, and I'm just trying to think.
It's crazy because it's really like it seems like there's a ton of. Like cast members or not cast members. It seems like there's a ton of characters on there, but they're spaced out, so it's not really that many.
Tarzan? Did you say Tarzan already?
Tarzan is not on the boat. Well, if Donald's there, maybe Daisy's there.
Oh, Daisy, that's a good one.
I don't know if
Minnie somewhere?
I don't know if she is or not. Goofy. Goofy's on there. For sure Goofy's on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see that in my head now. Yep. Are you keeping up with this, James?
I'm keeping up.
So
how close
are
we?
There and how many names do we have?
So by technicality, there's not a specific answer because sometimes there are certain characters on there and sometimes they don't show up.
That is true.
So I have a list of about 34. You've probably given me about 25.
34. Do you want to call it good or do you want to keep going?
I feel like one of Mary Poppins' penguins is also on there.
Yes. There, I think there's a penguin. I think you're right.
Why do I keep thinking that like Tarzan and Jane are on there? I don't know why. I'm going to say Tarzan and Jane. I don't know if Teresa's getting on that.
I don't think I'm getting on that boat.
You're not hopping on that Mark Twain boat?
I'm not getting on that vine.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to call it.
Oh. Are there country bears on there? Is there a country bear?
I don't know.
Are you going with country bears?
You'll do Tarzan, and I'll do the country bears.
Okay. Awesome.
I don't think, like, Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore and Tigger, I don't think they're on there.
Oh, now you're saying this, I feel like I've seen them on there.
I've at least
seen Tigger.
We'll go with, like, Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore.
Piglet?
I've never I don't think Piglet's...
I feel like I've seen Tigger, but now, like...
Pinocchio and Geppetto.
Oh, yeah?
100%. Pinocchio and Geppetto, I'm pretty sure, are on there.
Okay.
Like, I just, like, yelled that at you.
So much excitement.
It was. All of a sudden, I was like, wait. Watch, they're not on there.
Maybe. All right, let's leave it there.
We'll leave it there.
This is a good list. Can you help them finish it? How'd they do on the rest of the questions? How'd you do? We'll find out later after this week's discussion topic.
Watch. Both of our bonus ones, which I don't remember. I don't even remember what mine was now. Yours was...
The Country Bears.
Country Bear, yeah.
And then Tarzan and Jane.
Like
mine's Tarzan and Jane.
This week, we are super excited to introduce to you Evan, who is an artist and designer, and he works with Disney Live Entertainment. So welcome to the show, Evan. We're so pumped to talk to you.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Evan actually works down in Florida, so he's at Walt Disney World, but we are still super, super excited because we follow you on Instagram, and watching your stories and seeing your art is just so cool and so fun, and we're just so happy to pick your brain.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'd love to talk about Disney. and I'm sure my wife is sick of hearing about it. So it's good to have other people.
There you go. Perfect. So, Evan, we just kind of want to get to know you a little bit better. So what is your Disney story? How did Disney start in your life? How did you fall in love with either the parks, the movies, or the company?
Well, I grew up on a Disney diet. Like, I feel a lot of people did. I grew up with the Disney movies, coming to Walt Disney World. I grew up in Michigan, so taking the trip down to Florida to Walt Disney World was really easy for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still like a full day or day and a half of an entire family packed in a car trying to get across the country. But so I've always had that as part of my life. I remember I was going to college and I was walking through the hallways and I saw a poster on the wall for the Disney College program, and I was reading about it, and it just kind of like clicked, like, wow, like I could work at Disney. It never occurred to me that people actually work at Disney. It was just like this thing that like, it just, Disney just exists and we all enjoy it or whatever. But it was that moment where I realized that I could actually work for Disney. So yeah, I started with the Disney College program, and I did about 3 Disney College programs. I started with Magic Kingdom Custodial, and wow, then I went over into Dinosaur Animal Kingdom and Outdoor Food and Beverage over at Epcot. And I'm not sure, should I be talking about my all of the roles I've had at Disney?
No, that's totally fine.
Yeah, you're totally fine. Yep.
So after my college program with Outdoor Food and Beverage at Epcot, I got a professional internship as a graphic designer with the guest information and collateral team, which I got to work on the park maps and any printed material that was distributed throughout the parks or the resorts, which was really cool in itself. But my big claim to fame in that role was I got to help open Aulani over in Hawaii. So I was part of the opening team for that resort. Now, I didn't get to work physically at Aulani. I was still in Orlando, but I don't know if you've been there, but I helped work on the Daily Evas. I don't know if they're still there, as well as other printed materials at the resort. From that role, my project manager, she was originally with Disney Cruise Line, and she was on a temporary assignment helping to get that resort open. But once the resort opened, she went back to her role and I went back to school. And she called me one morning while I was back at school in Michigan and said that she loved working with me. And now that she's back at Cruise Line, she has the perfect role for me, and pretty much offered me a job straight up on the spot to go and work on board the ships. So I worked on board Disney Cruise Line for about 3 years. Actually, I was about to get married during that time. So initially I said no, because when they wanted me to come out was I would have missed my wedding.
Oh yeah. That's kind of important.
I had to immediately say no, otherwise I would have gotten hate from my wife.
Your wife should be happy that you, at least she knows where she stands with your Disney
love.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. But when I initially turned it down, she asked me about my wife, and my wife had done the college program with me, and she was on the verge of graduating from college too. And I don't think that this will ever happen again in my entire life, but she was like, well, send her resume over, and along with a listing of jobs that she would potentially be interested on board, and we'll get her on board too. So my wife and I both worked on board Disney Cruise Line for about 3 years.
Oh my God. Talk about an extended honeymoon.
What did you do on the cruise line?
I was in guest communication. So the navigators, if you've ever been on board and you got a navigator, I would make those every single day, every single cruise.
That's
every form of printed material on board, as well as if you go to the Walt Disney Theater and they have the digital signage out front, or pretty much any digital signage on board. I managed the content on those screens and created content for those screens, as well as helping to launch the Disney Navigator app in its early days. So that was a lot of fun.
Evan, I think you may have the most incredible Disney story that we've heard. That is, wow. That is so amazing. We haven't even like gotten to what your current role is. So how long have you been with the company then?
I started my first college program in January of 2010. So it's been about 11 and a half years.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Okay, so let's let him finish.
Yeah.
So you were on the cruise ship doing all the little science. Then what?
So I wanted to, my wife and I wanted to get off the ships because we wanted to have a family.
Sure,
and
people, yeah.
I mean, people do it on the ships, but you don't, we didn't want to be apart from each other and we didn't want to spend any time away from our future child. So we decided to look for jobs off the ship. And unfortunately, I had to leave the company to be able to do that. But I left the company, but joined as a contractor for Disney University as a graphic designer doing design for internal training and stuff.
Neat. Yeah, neat.
And luckily, too, was somebody that I had worked with on the cruise ships, she left the ships as well. And I ran into her one day and was talking about how I really want to get back to being a full cast member. And she said that they were just hiring on her team for a graphic designer for Disney Institute. So I went in and spoke with them for that job and I got hired there. I was a graphic designer at Disney Institute for about 4 years, which Disney Institute, it's part of special events and they do a lot of external training. So companies out there who want to know what that Disney secret to success is for employee engagement and leadership, we have programs at Disney that we can use to help other companies grow just like we do. So that was my next role. And then after that role is my current role. Through a bunch of series of events, I became an artist and designer for broadcast production for Disney Live Entertainment. And that's what I've been doing for almost 2 years now.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's the episode. Yeah.
That was incredible. And the thing that was also just like amazing to me was not once, but twice, you just have these connections that then led to better, like different opportunities at different places, at different points in your life that just like fit in so well and so naturally. That's wow. Dang.
When I talk to people who are trying to find their way into Disney or are trying to move around in Disney and they ask about what to do, I always tell them that connections are very important because I feel like my career is very much, I think back to Walt and how he would be able to see things in people that they didn't quite see in themselves. And your role might be this, but you as a person are good for this other thing. And you might not see that in yourself, but somebody else does.
Yeah.
You leaving yourself open for those types of opportunities with people and expanding beyond what you currently do. I feel like it does take you places. And that's been my entire Disney journey. I mean, I applied for the Disney College program, but beyond that, every role I've had at Disney, I have gotten through a connection. Yeah. It hasn't been through applying.
That's amazing. So.
It is really amazing.
You know, I'm just laughing because I saw your messages with Teresa earlier about like, well, what are we going to talk about? We have like five episodes worth of stuff we could talk about, I feel like, at this point. So, but, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before with there are some Disney employees, and I don't know if you're like this or not, but there are some Disney people who've been cast members who like, it's just, you know, it's a job. Like, you know, they do these things that are really awesome and spectacular, but it's like, well, I just do this every day. So like, to me, it's not that interesting to talk about, but to everybody else, it's super interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're necessarily one of those, because it seems like you're very excited about all of your stuff that you've done for Disney.
So. Yeah. And I feel like the role that I'm currently in, I thought that what I am doing right now with my role, I thought that was going to be the capstone to my career. And I'm 33 years old and I'm like, oh shoot. I hope it's not all downhill from here, but it doesn't feel like work to me right now. Even if I have to put in extra hours, it's fun. And the people I work with are great. And we're just, it kind of just feels like a group of friends got together and they're like, hey, let's go out back and put on a show. Like, that's what it feels like.
Wow.
And it doesn't feel like work, even when it's hard. It doesn't feel like work. So I definitely know people who love what they do, but for them, it's still their paycheck and it's their job. Yeah. And they're still very passionate about it. But for me, it's, it's almost a lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle might not be the right word, but it's not just work and then my life. It's work in my life. It's the same thing.
That's so cool.
That's good, though, because people always really talk great. About how if you do something you love, then you don't work a day in your life or whatever. Mm-hmm. That kind
yeah,
of
it's happens. Just like but, that.
But and a lot of people, a lot of places, you know, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, listening to this as well, who are not in that position. So you're very fortunate to be in that position where you can love your job and not feel like it's work. And, you know, it's like Teresa and I, you know, we do this podcast. We love it. It's not our job, but like we work hard at it. But like it's fun. Like,
exactly.
We rarely have a time where we're dissatisfied or we're like grumpy about something. I mean, there's some times where just stupid things will pop up, but it's not anything crazy. So Disney, man. So question yeah. for you. So the next question just depends on this. So if you've been to Disneyland, yes, no?
Yes, I went to Disneyland for my first time while I was working on the cruise ships. We would be on the ships for about 4 to 5 months, and then I would get 1.5 to 2 months of shore leave. Where it was definitely deserved because after working 7 days a week, about 80 hours a week on board a floating milk carton in the middle of the ocean, it felt great to get some land time. So on one of those shore leaves, my wife and best friend and I, we rented a car, did a road trip from Orlando across the country and just saw the entire country and made it up to Disneyland. And not only Disneyland, but we spent a few days there and then we went to Aulani and then we did the upper part of the country, Grand Canyon and all that stuff. But I've been to Disneyland about three times.
So yeah. You can take this as Disneyland or you can modify it for the Magic Kingdom if you want. But when entering like the Magic Kingdom style park on your first day of a trip or a visit, which way do you go? Do you go towards left towards Adventureland? Do you go through towards Fantasyland? Do you go to Tomorrowland? What's kind of your plan?
It depends on who I'm with, because if I'm with my wife, then it's whatever my wife wants to do. if I'm with my son, it's whatever he wants to do, which is typically Splash Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain. If it's just me personally, it always changes, because my favorite part of going to for instance Magic Kingdom, I guess it applies to Disneyland as well, just walking down Main Street. I don't hustle down Main Street. I love to just take my time and just soak it all in. And if you were to include Main Street USA going up to the hub as a land, that would be my favorite. So I like to take my time going down Main Street, and then it's just whatever I feel like. I really love Fantasyland, and I really love Frontierland. So maybe one of those beyond there, but I like to soak up Main Street a lot.
This is an important question I have real quick. Which Fantasyland do you like better, Disneyland or Disney World?
Well, they are very different.
They are different.
And that's what's so hard. Whenever I talk to people about the differences between Disneyland and Walt Disney World, it's so hard because I feel like they complement each other so perfectly. What I feel is better at Disneyland, Walt Disney World might have something a little bit better. It's like they just complement each other perfectly. I might like something better at one than the other, but then on another attraction or another part of the experience, I might like the vice versa for the other park. So it's really difficult. I know that the last time I went to Disneyland, we took my son for his, I think it was his third birthday, and he just wanted to do Casey Jr. over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So that was his favorite when we went there. I think when I go to Fantasyland at Disneyland, though, I feel like I love Disney history, and I'm a sucker for that. So when I'm in Fantasyland, I just feel like I'm in history.
Yeah.
Whereas at Walt Disney World, I mean, there's a lot of history there too, but I don't get that same feeling. So as far as feeling that Disney magic, I get more of that when I'm at Fantasyland at Disneyland.
Yeah, it is really cool. And you kind of forget about it and you take it for granted a little bit that was where it all started, really, was Fantasyland, because that was, you know, the heart of Disneyland when it first opened. And you find the most of the attractions that have been there since opening day are still in Fantasyland. So, yeah, it definitely has the most history.
I just wish that the Magic Kingdom would renovate their Fantasyland to look like Disneyland's Fantasyland, where it looks like the town. Yeah, because I feel like the ones in Magic Kingdom just look like cheap. I don't know. They just look like we put all of our effort into the actual attraction, and then we're just going to slap something on the outside. Mm. That's all.
Yeah, I feel like Disneyland has that. Maybe this isn't the right term, but that lived in feel where it just feels like everything, like a lot of stuff has grown around it. It feels like it's more of a natural place, whereas Walt Disney World, it doesn't have as much of that natural lived in feel. And it definitely has a different feeling, especially in Fantasyland too. So I know what you mean over there. However, I do love the Fantasyland expansion area. I feel like what they did with incorporating the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Oh yes.
Not just making it an attraction, but adding it as landscaping for the land.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Fantasyland definitely needed that at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm.
That whole side is beautiful at Disney World. It's just the other side they need to work on. Yeah. And do you you're a design Disney guy. Maybe you can answer this question. You probably don't know, but I'm going to try anyway. What is with that weird section of wall that's behind the castle in Magic Kingdom? It's just this weird... Oh. Weird part of a castle wall that's back there.
Oh, with castle turrets and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It just seems so awkward and out of place when I was there. I mean, maybe it's trying to give the feeling that it's like enclosed, maybe. But I don't know. I always just thought it was weird because we went back there. I'm like, what is, it's just a wall. Okay.
To me, I kind of always looked at it as something that made sense to the area and the story, but was easily replaced if they needed to put something there.
Sure.
So that's how I've kind of always viewed it. Now that's not an official answer at all. Right. That's just kind of how I as a regular guest going to Walt Disney World. That's just how I have always felt about it. I mean, I can definitely see them nixing that in the future and putting something else there. Not that that's a plan or anything, but that's what I've always thought of.
Yeah, it seems like it's just kind of like extra decoration or something. Yeah, it's kind of flourish.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like
it's a good spot for photos.
It was pretty fun. So Tag and I just went to Walt Disney World. What was that, in August? We made the trip down. And it was so funny.
Just, it's been almost a year.
I know, but it feels like it was just. It was the last time we were in a park, so that's why it feels like it wasn't, we went to Touch of Disney, but it was last time we were in a park able to ride attractions.
Like a functional theme park, yes.
So anyways, it was so funny because we forget how much bigger Walt Disney World is, just even the Magic Kingdom compared to Disneyland. So we're hiking it from one side to the other. It's like, we're never going to get there. So far away.
Man, my gosh. Yeah,
exactly. And and walking in Frontierland and how much wider those pathways are too is just wow. Yeah,
I view Disneyland as being kind of cozy and Walt Disney World as being very grand. It's very That's different true. Feelings. Not that one or the other is right or wrong, but there's definitely a different feeling. Walt Disney World or Magic Kingdom really definitely does seem more grand and it does seem a little bit larger. But I feel like at Disneyland they did an amazing job. And every time I go, I think about this, at making the most of the little bit of space that's there. Even with hiding far off sight lines, making some paths winding and putting some things at different levels of elevation. And they really did make it feel like you were in a place that was larger than it actually is. And that was amazing to me.
The thing I always think about is the Haunted Mansion. Even as an adult, you walk into the mansion and your mind is convinced that the entire attraction is somehow packed into that one little thing that you just walked through. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. And then looking at an aerial view and seeing, the Haunted Mansion attraction building is actually kind of right next to these other attractions that the entrances are nowhere near each other. And you'd never think that you are going past, I don't know, a Splash Mountain boat or something else. So it's just so crazy.
I always find it amusing because for a long time I don't necessarily feel as strongly about this as I used to. And then we should move on because I feel like we're just talking about Disneyland versus Disney World. And that's a whole different podcast. Right. But
round two.
Right. Right? But well, our friends over at Concierge, Eric, who works over there, he does a podcast called The Supreme Resort. And they pick two things, one Disney World, one Disneyland. And they, like, each episode, they, like, talk about, like, pros and cons of an attraction.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a whole other podcast for that if you're interested in that. But what they get for a long time, and this was way before your time at Disney, Evan, Disney World used to get all the money and all the new things for a mm-hmm. long time when I was first into Disneyland, like the early 90s. I know, like, Fantasmic and stuff and whatever. But for a long time, like, Disney World was, like, the thing that everybody was just all about, and Disneyland, like, didn't get any attention. And so I always laugh, and now that I live in the Midwest, because I grew up in California, now that I live in the Midwest, most Midwesterners go to Disney World just mm-hmm. because. Mm-hmm. And so people here, like, don't even know Disneyland. Like, you say, oh, I do a Disneyland podcast, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've been to Florida. And I'm like, it's in California.
Yeah.
Because they don't know, you know? And, and of course, they also use the saying that I hate, which is, we're going to Disney. Like, okay, which one? Like, you're not going to... Anyway, that's a pet peeve. But anyway.
I mean, you could even be at Walt Disney World and people ask you, well, where's Disney World? It's like, you're there. Like, no, but like the one with the castle, it's like, oh, you mean Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
but I people don't believe me, and I have to, like, point them online to lists that between the two parks in California, there are more attractions than in the four parks in Florida.
Which is crazy. Oh, really? When you think about it. It's
See,
really
you didn't even know. Yeah, if you go look at, like, that attraction listing, yep. And it's all because of like, density. Disneyland, I think I saw something that said Disneyland has more attraction, like, the most attractions in a Disney park anywhere in the world.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Because everything's, like, crammed together. And if you think about it, because there's a lot of duplicates, right, of mm-hmm. between mm-hmm. parks. A lot, you know, things that are in Disneyland are in other parks in Disney World.
That's true. Yeah. I suppose. Because
like Star Tours is in Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones's dinosaur at
Animal Kingdom. Yeah. So you get all that kind of differentiation. So it's just interesting. Anyway, move on.
That's actually interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of attractions.
Oh, yes. What is your favorite attraction, Evan? I feel like this is the hardest question we ask.
It's actually kind of easy for me. I love Mickey's PhilharMagic at Magic
Ooh,
Kingdom.
Yeah.
I love Disney music, and I don't know why, but I have amazing memories of going to Walt Disney World when I was younger and just being blown away by that. And, it just sparked something, like, in me, that whole Disney magic feel. And every time I go back, I get that same feeling. But also, It's a Small World. Just because I'm in art and design, and hearing the story about that attraction, how I think it was built in the least amount of time than any other Disney attraction. It was built in it went from, like, concept to like opening day, and mm-hmm. I think in like 9 months or something.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and something that I love the design aesthetic in that attraction. I love the variations between the different versions of Small World mm-hmm. Throughout the world. But when I look at that attraction, I think this is such a testament to Disney artists and designers that you could give us no time and no budget, and we can still make something amazing that transcends decades and generations of families. And mm-hmm. it's something that is still a timeless classic in our parks. And it just goes to show that you don't even need a large budget to make something amazing that people want to see. So to me, It's a Small World is such a treasure. And it's again, a testament to what artists and designers and other amazing people at Disney can do. Mm-hmm.
I think what makes It's a Small World, other than, like, it does have some really cool artistry and it's very distinct, like, nothing looks like it except for all the other It's a Small World.
Oh, yeah.
Is the music. I think the music is what, like, that's like the defining thing of It's a Small World. Everybody has an opinion on It's a Small World.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's, I think, also a thing when we've asked people when they've said that the Haunted Mansion or Pirates are their favorite attractions, is the music is always mentioned. because they have original songs for these attractions.
And they're
catchy.
Stuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You got the Figment one stuck in your head.
I love Figment. Mm-hmm. I love him so much.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. I posted on Instagram that I got to draw Figment for a Disney commercial.
You did?
World. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. There was a commercial for Walt Disney World that's talking about the new relationship between Walt Disney World and Advent Health, and I got to draw a Figment in that commercial, and it's got a new version of One Little Spark in it, and it's really good.
I'm gonna have to look that up when we're done.
Yes.
I just fell for Figment so hard. He's so cute.
He's so iconic. I'm glad that Disney's starting to kind of do more with him lately.
Yeah,
I felt like for a while it kind of fell
and
off.
Imagineering owns that character. So when we were when I was drawing Figment and we had some of our animators doing the animation on it, everything had to be bought off by Imagineering. And they were so excited to see Figment come to life in this way, because even they were saying that they don't get to see Figment like this too much or too often. So even they were a little emotional about it, seeing Figment coming to life off the page and, dancing and flying around. So
we were talking, I was like, I wish we could somehow have Figment on the West Coast as well as the East Coast. He's just such a great character. He's so great.
Can you imagine the talk about brawls?
Yeah, right. Oh,
you took our character.
Maybe we should leave him be. But I love him so much. I'm not a fan of having like the same attraction duplicated. So like, to me,
it'd have to be a different attraction.
Yeah, it'd have to be different. So like, to me, like, right, Walt Disney World's getting Tron. So I don't really want Tron to come to Disneyland, because I feel like if I can go to Walt Disney World to do that. I like having different experiences at the different parks, but I think I would make an exception for Figment. Because he's just so cute.
I went to Disneyland Paris a couple of years ago with my wife and son, and we loved the Ratatouille ride there, and we're really excited to get it at Walt Disney World, but I definitely understand it's a different feeling going to Disneyland Paris and feeling like you're part of, like you're just immersed in that culture and that environment, and then going on an attraction like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be a different feeling. I mean, going over to France at Epcot, I mean, it's there in a way, but definitely different feelings.
Disneyland Paris, as an artist, you must have appreciated how beautiful.
Oh my gosh. That part blew my mind. I was only there for a few days, but I wanted to spend a lot more just to go to the park maybe by myself and just take it all in, because the design aesthetic was amazing. I love how they did there. It's not Tomorrowland. Is it Discoveryland?
Discoveryland, yeah.
Yes. I love the art direction that they took with
that. They finally nailed a Tomorrowland.
Yeah, right. And I felt like they were really smart about the space that they had too. And I felt like everything seemed more encompassing and bigger. I remember being in one of the stores in Frontierland, and there was like a second level to that store. Not that you could go up there, but like even the stores were larger, where you felt like you were more encompassed in this land and in this story. I don't know how they did it, but it just, I remember walking around and just feeling even more so like this land or these environments were encompassing me.
I went to Disneyland Paris for one day, and it was right after they kicked off their 20th anniversary celebration. And I watched their projection. I you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think they were the first park to do castle projections for that show, I want to say.
I'm not sure. I remember over at Walt Disney World, I think our first projection show was The Magic Memories and You. And I think that was in 2010 or 2011.
Okay. Yeah, because that was about the time that I went to Paris, was 2012, 11,
so at least
somewhere in there.
One of the first ones.
But what's so cool about there is, of course, in Disneyland, we have Fantasmic and the fountains and everything. Mm-hmm. And we have World of Color, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And then casual projection shows, and fireworks. And this was all of that in one show because they have the jets and stuff in front of the castle.
Yes, that's right. I nearly forgot about that. You're so right.
Yeah, and it's such a cool thing that they had that there. And of course, that castle is just so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Everybody wants to lynch me when I say that I would be okay with them taking away Sleeping Beauty Castle and putting in the Disneyland Paris Castle. It's so beautiful.
It truly is one of them. And I keep saying one of them to kind of be like political about the whole thing, but it really might be the most beautiful castle that we have.
It is beautiful. But the thing that I feel is it fits the Disneyland Paris, like,
that's true.
It fits there. Yes. I don't think it would if you plopped it in like Disneyland or Walt Disney World, I don't know if it would quite be the same. Does that make
you're
sense?
So right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Then I'll just make all the Disney World and Tokyo people mad when I say that I still think that Cinderella Castle is the ugliest Disney castle.
Rude.
Well, a new paint job or an old paint job?
For which one?
Well, they have decorations and stuff on it now.
Yeah, but we saw the new paint job when we were there.
That's true.
I liked the new paint job, actually.
The new paint job was nice. It's the chunkiness of the castle, I think.
The photos, I don't think, gave that new paint job enough justice. Mm-mm. It looks way better in person.
And the decorations look amazing.
The decorations for the 50th are... those are great.
I mean, it's not a cake, so...
Yeah, that's true. It's not a cake.
I figured if that was your bar...
It's nice. It's just a nice, like, flourish. It's very, like, magical. Yeah. And I'm all about... whatever color scheme it is that they're doing for the 50th. I like that shimmery
luminescent thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. What do you call that internally?
When PR first announced Beacons of Magic in the little marketing blurb, it used the word or the term iridescence.
That's right.
And we were so jealous we didn't come up with it first.
It is perfect. Like, what a like Disney way to like.
Right.
We were that's just so perfect. Jealous.
I love that. I'm also very excited for all of the Disney World cast members with their their shimmery new name tags.
Oh my gosh,
it's beautiful too.
That? Yeah.
Do you get one too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Although the Magic is Back ones were pretty cool.
Those are cool too. I'm a sucker, right? We're Disney nerds. We love weird things. Like, I got really excited when you said you worked on park maps because I really like maps. Yeah, like, I save them. It's so cool.
when I worked on park maps, it was during the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World. So if you happen to have that map, I worked on that map.
That's cool.
But in my office, we had a large plotter, which was like a large giant printer, and I used to print those park maps to they were like 4 feet tall and like however long, and I would lay them out on the floor because I had to look at the detail on it, and it was just not something that I could look efficiently at on the computer. So I mean I kind of wish I saved them now because they were like these massive giants.
You could like have it like as one of your walls in your house is just a Disney map.
I kind of think to like Mary Poppins when they're about to jump into the painting.
Oh, there you go.
I can see myself like pretending to jump into a map, but that was really fun to print out the map.
I think I'm looking at it here. It was on the Disney. It looks like the Disney Parks blog or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, posted it, and they had a PDF version of it. For the 40th anniversary, and I'm looking at it. I forget that you guys have a different style of park map. Like ours has looked different for a while. This one's kind of whimsical and kind of stick drawn. It's cool.
Yeah, the design and art for it was done. I want to say it was done in Imagineering, but then it got passed over to me because I would like they worked on one part of the map and I worked more on the communication side. So they developed the actual like full look of it. And then I got to take that look and add that to other parts of the map. So,
neat. It's cool. I like it. It feels like it was out of a sketchbook or something.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right. Let's start at the beginning. I think that's where we have to start. I took lots of notes while you were going through everything.
Sorry.
No, you're totally
fine. No, I am so excited. You have no idea. Do not be sorry one bit. Back in the day. Think way, way back to January of 2010. I'm thinking of, you know what, it's It's the Disneyland Railroad when you go like, now we journey back, way back to the time of the dinosaurs.
Oh my gosh, you're right, yes.
That's okay. You worked custodial at Magic Kingdom. Now, we have kind of, in fact, our last guest, Devin, was talking about this, about how, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, the podcast, The Sweep Spot.
No, okay. But I'm not,
That's okay. So it's two retired or former Disneyland custodial cast members. Yeah. And like they work together and they've had this podcast. They've written a couple of books. And we feel like Lynn and Ken over there have like shown this like different side of Disneyland custodial, Disney custodial, because right when you think of custodial, you don't think it's very glamorous, and
I think cleaning toilets,
like you think you're just like
puke,
that's just not fun stuff. But how they talk about it and like explain what it actually is makes so many people go like, oh wow, maybe that, like if I got a job, maybe that's what I would want to do.
I would say the exact same thing. I don't know what they've said exactly, but just like your description, I'd probably say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They get access to things. They can go, custodial basically can go anywhere.
I loved that at the time I wasn't stuck to just a station or a podium or something. Like this is probably what they talk about, but it was the coolest job because you just walk around and talk to people all day. Yeah. And my leaders would make sure that we understood that like cleaning was a small part of our job, but it was not the main focus of our job. The main focus was us being the first point of guest interaction contact. And they really drilled it into us that our main job is to just walk around and talk to people. And it was so great because that's what I would do all day, is talk to people about like what their favorite attraction was, what they were doing today, how excited they are to be there. And I would put water in the pan and tie up my broom and draw Disney characters on the sidewalks. And it was just so great. It was so much fun.
You know, there's something that's like, I don't know, it's so simple, but you talk about the, you know, doing the like sidewalk art with the water, and I've seen it with like either leaves or like fallen petals or whatever. I don't know, it's something that's so simple, but it's just so magical.
It's that
like
Disney
when
magic.
You, yeah, it is. It really
it's
is.
A little bit of extra.
Now we know, because I've always wondered like, how are some of these custodial people such like good artists? Like, wow, this is really good. You know, well, now we know they become design artists and designers for different parts of the park.
Not all of them, but they could.
That's
so
incredible.
I mean, I could talk a lot about custodial, but we will move on.
I could talk a lot about custodial.
I would love to hear about working on Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom.
Oh my gosh. My wife will tell you that I've never looked more good in a Disney costume. she loved that costume. Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom was a lot of fun. I loved doing the track walks at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. You don't realize how tall those vehicles are until you're on a track standing next to them. Those tires take up most of your body size. And
I believe it, because you never think of it, because you load on a platform, so you just walk right in.
and I mean it's a mirror of the, or not a mirror, but like a copy of Indiana over at Disneyland, so I'm sure that they could play the same thing. But going up some of those dips and slopes and hills, I had to get a running start sometimes. And it would sometimes be so exhausting, but it was so much fun because you just be like, those dinosaurs actually feel like, okay, there's a bunch of dinosaurs around me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how I feel like walking in that attraction. Ooh, I'd like be like, can you please turn all of the lights on? I don't feel comfortable like trying to do this with a little bit of light, because these dinosaurs are
too
realistic.
Oh yeah, then you get silhouetted dinosaurs coming at you. No. There you go. I will tell you the one thing about Dinosaur. So it's amazing, because I've ridden Indiana Jones a billion times, it feels like. And when I've ridden Dinosaur, the beginning I can tell is similar, because like in my mind, there's not as much to distract me. Yeah. But I cannot tell when I'm on it, like, I could not, like, if you stopped it in the middle and said, where on Indiana Jones are we? I'd be like, I have no idea. But the problem is it's so dark in there.
It is very dark. So it gets you, you're like disoriented as to like where exactly you are versus Indiana Jones, right? The lights are more on, like you can see the others, you know, you can see more. Now, so it is interesting. Like if I didn't, if someone didn't tell me they were the same.
Yeah.
Track
I wouldn't
layout, I would not have known.
Now, does your dinosaur leak hydraulic fluid like the Disneyland one does?
I know that there have been some times where the Carnotaurus was out of commission. I don't know exactly why, but it could be because of that.
Our vehicles apparently are historically
leaking
hydraulic fluid everywhere.
I feel like we would send vehicles back to maintenance occasionally, but it wasn't just like overly excessive and I don't remember it being a hydraulic fluid issue.
Gotcha.
So they fixed it for Disney World.
Yep, they got it fixed for you. That's great.
Potentially. I mean, this was back in 2011.
This has been a problem since the beginning, apparently.
So poor Indiana Jones does go down a couple of times throughout the day, and it's to clean up the track because there's too much fluid.
No, we didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, so. If you were custodial in Disneyland, you'd definitely know about it.
Yeah, we got a very big job doing that. So, well, that's good.
That's good. Well, you were saying you had to get a running start, and I was thinking, is it because the hydraulic fluid?
Yeah, he's just like, he's got his sled going up and down over the track trying to, no, I'm just kidding. How amazing. How amazing. And then the last part of your, or last year of your Disney College program was at Epcot. So tell us what it was like working at Epcot.
I really loved working at Epcot. However, I'm not a big fan of working with food. It's just not meant for me.
Of your time in the college program, that was probably not the one that you'd go back to.
Yeah, it was my least favorite, but just because of it being the food industry, I'm not a big food industry guy.
Sure,
but I loved being out, and I just love talking to people about this. So just like with custodial, what I didn't get at Dinosaur was that, because it was loading people on a vehicle and loading them off. I mean, sometimes we'd be at the front of the attraction. We'd get to talk to some of our guests, but with custodial and with outdoor food and beverage, I really got to speak with guests about their day. Sure. So that was something that I carried over from custodial that I did love about being in outdoor food. That was something that I wouldn't get if I was working in an indoor food setting. Mm-hmm. So with that aspect, I did love it. Plus, at that time, my wife's college program role was custodial at Epcot. So sometimes she can talk to me about my day. And
that's perfect. I was just thinking too, how neat it was that you got to do the college program not once, not twice, but three times, and that you also got assigned different parks. And then right cherry on top, the last park you worked at, your wife happened to work there too, so that's like even better.
Yeah.
And actually, what I didn't mention about my professional internship after Epcot with guest information and collateral was that role was in the feature animation building at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, look at that.
So I got to work in all the parks, but not only that, but I was geeking out pretty much every single day that I was coming in, because that was the building that made Lilo and Stitch and Brother Bear. And it was really cool to like be working in those offices.
Yeah.
Where those artists got to make those great movies. And there is a wall in there that has some artists' signatures on it. And there's the screening room in there. And they still had old film equipment that they kept in there. It's just so cool. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Wow.
So you worked outdoor vending at Epcot. Was there any specific spot that you were at more frequently than another?
Yeah, I was Future World, and pretty much every spot in Future World, and then just the tip of the World Showcase. They called it the Promenade. It's right when you enter the World Showcase. There's a couple spots there that I would work. Plus, I would work. Some of them were little tiny outdoor food buildings, and some of them were carts that I'd push up, and
Dang.
Cool.
So cool.
You've done it all.
You pretty much have. Like,
I'm exhausting just thinking about, like, oh my God, how did I make it this far?
So you're like retiring in a year or two.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I know, so might as well.
That's amazing. So let's talk about your professional internship. And so we heard about the park map stuff because, right, that's super cool. What other kinds of things did you get to work on and do while you were there?
Besides Alani, I mean, I got to work on simple things, just like I remember I had to make little door hangers that would go on doors at the different resorts. And I remember I made something for New Year's Eve events at the different resorts and over at Hilton Head. Anything that was like, sometimes it'd be a little sign that would be posted up at the wheelchair rental that in the park. So it was just all kinds of different printed stuff. I completely forgot about this until the other day. Back before we had the app over at Walt Disney World.
Oh.
I remember we were testing for special events an opt-in like push notification type thing, where if you were part of like Night of Joy, or if you were doing the one of the Halloween parties or something, you could opt in to this texting program or this texting thing. And we would text you something cute like the wait time for Peter Pan's flight is only 15 minutes off to Neverland. And then you would know that, oh, there's a short wait time over at Peter Pan's flight. Let's go over there. And we would text you about the different things going on, or like, if there was a parade about to start, then we'd text you about the parade starting and stuff. And this was all before the app. So it was very, very primitive, but that was something that was cool that I got to be a part of. That was probably like an in-between step between other things, but then eventually leading up to us having the app that you got all that information on.
That is pretty amazing, because like, I think about it now, right? We've gotten so used to the app and how wonderful the app is and how easy it is to navigate and kind of plan your day. It's hard for me to think about the before times before the app, when you'd have to like go, you would just have to either like walk all the way over to the attraction to see what the wait time was, or you'd have to find one of the boards, or you know, like it wasn't just right there readily at your fingertips. So that's interesting that they did like a push notification thing. Mm-hmm.
It was cool. Only for special events though.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was kind of like the early stages.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Those types of apps, but it was really fun because I remember when we were testing it out, I got to go to some of those events and we had like a base that we were monitoring everything on the computers and pushing out the notifications and stuff. And definitely different times, like hoping that Disney is going to text your phone about maybe there's a low wait at an attraction. You know?
That's so cool.
That is neat.
So I have to ask, I want to talk about some basics here, because I feel like people might find this really interesting, because they, you know, there's all of these things, right? Like you said, there's door hangers, mm-hmm. there's just info signs, there's the park maps. There is just a plethora, almost an endless amount of different media and signage and stuff that's everywhere and throughout the parks and the hotels. And I found myself doing this. I'm sure some of our listeners are going to feel this way. That you don't think that like somebody sits down and designs these things. So my question for you is two parts. One, when you start in the department, when you have to draw characters that are so well known, like how much leeway do you have to depict a character a certain way? Like, does it have to be really specific, or can you kind of do like a stylized version, that kind of thing? Are you trained on like, you know, Mickey Mouse has to be these proportions, etc.? And then the other thing is, when you sit down to start one of these design projects, like a park map or like a sign, how do you come up with like inspiration to take something as simple or as, you know, some people would say boring, as like a door hanger or something, and make it something cool and magical that is worthy of being on a Disney door handle somewhere or on a desk somewhere?
As far as characters go, there are teams that have trained character artists, and some of those character artists, and I always wish I had joined them, but I never did. like once a week or once every few weeks, they would have like free art classes where everybody would, like whoever wanted to join would come, and they would do like still life drawings, or they would do like character drawing courses, like just for fun. But anyway, getting back on track. If you are in a role that leaves you free to draw like Mickey Mouse without an intense approval process, you have to go through training and be approved as somebody who can draw Mickey Mouse, because there's only one Mickey, and whether it's here or Disneyland or in Shanghai, Mickey's Mickey. So that is what happens with the characters. Now there are stylized characters, and there are teams of people who, again, approved teams of people who can do stylized characters in certain ways, but there's approval processes. Whenever I do characters, I'm not an approved character artist, so everything has to come down to me getting a style guide, and there's an intense approval process. Like for the Festival of the Arts at Epcot, I drew Tarzan and Jane, and that had to be approved. And when I drew Figment, Walt Disney Imagineering had to approve my Figment. So I only draw characters in certain circumstances that have a direct need that can't be fulfilled elsewhere. I'm kind of like a backlog of artists that can potentially do that, but there is a very intense approval process for those types of characters. Even coming down to like how, like what types of poses and how full Mickey or Minnie's muzzle might be, and stuff like that.
That's crazy. I mean, it makes sense, but that's also like crazy because we're looking at your Instagram page right now, and actually when Tag just happened to be scrolling, as you said, Tarzan and Jane, and we came across your Tarzan and Jane for Festival of the Arts. And it's like, to me, not, you know, just the average fan, this looks like it could have like swung right out of the movie. It's like, it's so spot on. So the fact that like you're the kind of the backup sometimes for this stuff, and this is, you know, it's like, wow, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it blows my own mind sometimes if I stop and think about it just beyond like work mode, Evan, because there's work Evan, and there's also Disney fan Evan, and sometimes I need to turn work mode Evan off, and then Disney fan Evan just comes out and geeks out for a moment. But being able to do that stuff is really cool, and I feel extremely grateful that the company trusts me with stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, right, because these are such iconic things, so that's really amazing that you can be a part of that and bring some of these characters to life for different, you know, different reasons, whether if it's because I think I saw that the Tarzan and Jane was used kind of like as the background or like as a projection in a show. And, you know, so I can't even imagine what it's like to spend so much time on this art and then step into the parks and see your work there.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, that is one of the coolest parts. Going out into a park or somewhere and seeing people enjoy something that I did, and just like sitting there, just kind of, it's soaking up the moment of the idea that I added to an experience like this. I love it.
Just walk up behind them and you go, I did that.
Yeah, right.
That was me.
They're like, who are you?
Like, yeah, sure.
Name tag right here. Name tag.
Yeah, right.
That's just so super incredible.
So how do you get inspiration to come up with these things or to make something that could be boring more exciting?
A lot of times I look back. Well, it of course it depends on the project. If it's something simple like a door hang, I might just use my own design sense for, like, I made some door hangs for the contemporary. So then I look at some of the previous material that's been created for the contemporary and what kind of design feel does the contemporary resort have? Well, that's how I'm going to design the certain thing going forward. So I have to look at where my thing is going to live. But then also, as far as inspiration goes, I like to look back into like what the company has done as like what other artists have done. I have a huge collection of Disney books, especially Disney art books that I love to reference just to go back to, because I like to feel that I'm like, and I mean, this isn't me like tooting my own horn or anything, but I like to feel like I'm like passing a torch from like, from one part of Disney history to another. I like to think that, that in the entire history of Disney or Walt Disney World, there's been all of these amazing artists and cast members that have made the experience what it was and what it is today. And I like to think that I'm passing that torch along. So I like to look back at what other artists have done and what other people have done as my own inspiration. So it feels like I'm taking what they've done and I'm passing it forward and adding my own little thing to it.
That makes a lot of sense. Cause if you think about like Tag was saying, we don't as a guest necessarily like realize that one person designed this door hang. Yeah. Some other person designed this, like, I don't know, sign that's over here. You know, all these different pieces of this massive, massive puzzle that is, you know, the Disney resort, you know, the resort, the park, whatever the space is, they all have to fit in seamlessly. And the other thing that kind of has to go with that too is you have to have it so that it's not jarring. Like when I come back in 2 years and I see similar things, it can't be like, well, wait a minute, this isn't right, you know. So it is. I've like never really thought about that, but it's so many different people over the span of time that has this this huge level of like cohesion. So things like, you know, having all these approval processes and whatnot,
but
it makes sense.
A lot of internal debate goes on over what might seem like the simplest things, but it's it all comes down to like carrying the legacy and the history and making sure that we're staying consistent with the expectations of the product that we're delivering. Mm-hmm.
A weird example of this is a character, for instance. So Kermit the Frog, when they did the reboot for Disney Plus, I could not get over the fact that Kermit did not, I couldn't tell you what it was exactly, but Kermit didn't sound right. So clearly Kermit has not had the same voice ever since Kermit first appeared. But, you know, we pick up on the smallest things. And never have I had an experience in a Disney like bubble. So like whether it was somewhere in the Walt Disney World Resort or Disneyland Resort, never had I had an experience where something I'm like, ooh, you know, like that. So it shows that even the thing that might seem like the most tiny little, nobody's going to ever notice this detail, makes sense that you have to, that it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of decisions and maybe back and forths to make, you know, to make it happen. It's just.
Yeah. And that's why we have internal groups like Disney University that help carry that legacy forward. So if you are a new cast member joining Disney, then that is still instilled in you, that need to carry the legacy of the company forward, and how important your role individually is to that, and empowering everybody to be their own leader and to be able to do that and pull that going forward. Because we have a consistent message and product that we want to deliver. And something that I learned over at Disney Institute, well, not learned, but that really stuck with me, is a lot of companies have brand promises or vision statements and stuff. The Disney brand promises, Disney delivers entertainment with heart, and that with heart is very important. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of threaded throughout a lot of what we do. We have to make sure that everything that we do kind of gets down to that deep spot within all of us where that magic kind of lives.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I felt ridiculous. So last night they had, so like back on the West Coast, they had Avengers Campus and they had a opening ceremony. And I think it's really cool that some things have been more available to the public that maybe weren't available. And I would say maybe this is because of COVID. I don't remember them always broadcasting so many park things before. So I think it's cool that we can tune in and watch like the live stream of this really neat ceremony for Avengers Campus. Anyways, where I was getting to with that, I'm not a big Marvel person and I'm not super excited about like Avengers Campus. I think it's going to be really cool, but it's not something that I'm like chomping at the bit wanting to go in and you know,
it's not the next Haunted Mansion for you.
It's not the Haunted Mansion, exactly. So, but I got emotional watching that, and it's there's something, I don't know what Disney does, but you guys are doing it.
It's the heart.
Yeah, it's the heart. That's exactly what it is. It's like, I don't even really care that much about this, and here I am like, exactly. It's just like, it's, and I'm like, watching this thinking like, I don't even care that this is getting me emotional. It's just, it's amazing.
And it goes with what you were saying, Evan, about, you know, the history and the torch and all that stuff, because when I, going back to my trip to Disneyland Paris that one day, we saw that show at night. And of course there was people there that spoke all different languages, and, you know, not everybody there spoke English and everything, but there was a segment of that show that was the Jungle Book. And it was the, like, I want to be like you. Yep. Everybody was singing and dancing along to that. I've never in the U.S. with any of our shows have seen that many people that like enthralled with that.
Yeah.
And that's all because they connect with that. Like, everybody knows I Want to Be Like You, Jungle Book, you know, like, and it's such a catchy tune. Everybody just has to dance. It's just crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. There is something that Disney creates that just gets down deep. It doesn't matter where you live in the world or what your culture is, your background or whatever. There is something that speaks to pretty much everybody in the world. And that's how you can go to Disneyland Paris or Shanghai Disneyland or to all of these other areas where Disney is around the world and still get that same feeling, but also be around other people who have that same type of experience that you have on the other side of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Well, definitely. We had an exchange student that went with us to D23, not this past August, but the August before. His big dream was to meet Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And he got to meet Mickey Mouse, and he's like a 17-year-old boy, right? You're like, okay, like, you're not going to be that excited about Mickey Mouse. He was so excited to meet Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
That's and Mickey great. Was just as excited to meet him, which also made it great. Because Mickey was like, he's like, I'm from Poland. And Mickey was like, oh, you know, and did, you know, mimed like shock and awe and like excitement. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Those characters and, of course, all the cast members and, you know, experiences and stuff, you know, like the nighttime spectaculars and the parades, like all of it, right? It all adds up to be one cohesive thing that just everybody loves.
Exactly.
And nobody else quite does it like that. You know, Universal sometimes with their attractions will get close.
Yep.
But Disney, like, is the whole package and you're so enveloped in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
We still have so much more to talk about with Evan. So next week we will continue our interview with him and you'll get the rest of his story. It is fantastic and you won't want to miss it.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then you can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, D.O. Weekly.
Yeah, welcome back. You two did pretty good, especially combining yourselves together. So our first question was, prior to COVID, where in the resort could you meet everyone's favorite sailor duck, Donald? You gave me his house in Toontown. You could have also given me Main Street at Carthay Circle, at Donald Duck Seaside Breakfast at Disney's PCH Grill and Paradise Pier Hotel. Yes, the full official name. And potentially other character breakfasts as well.
Ah, all sorts of places.
Yeah. Popular option. Question two from Donna S. was, when is Donald Duck's birthday? Put you two together and you actually got it right.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Teresa getting the date correct with June 9th. Tag getting the year correct with 1934.
So it was June 9th, 1934?
Yeah, TNT powers activate. So
wow.
Donna S. wanted to make sure we cleared the rumor up that he was not born on Friday the 13th, as the cartoon may have said at some point. Third question, Rebecca M., what is his middle name? I'm glad you said it first, Teresa, because I looked at this and was like, I'm not really sure. Fauntleroy, yep. That is indeed his middle name.
Yay, childhood cup to the rescue.
And our last one, Donald is one of many characters riding the Mark Twain during Fantasmic. Can you tell me who else is on the ship?
Oh my goodness.
I spoiled it a little bit, obviously, in the question of how many are on there because it changed. I watched probably four or five different episodes of Fantasmic, including like how it was before they refurbished some things, because some things changed. Mm-hmm. Some major things changed. So the list that I wrote down from my viewings were Ariel, Prince Eric, Beast, Belle, Rapunzel, Flynn Rider, Snow White, Prince Charming, and or Dopey, Steamboat Willie captaining the ship. I can't believe you two forgot that.
No, we didn't. Teresa said it.
Oh, okay. I heard Naveen first, and I'm like, I can't believe you two left that one out.
Tiana and Naveen.
Later.
Goofy, Pluto, Jasmine, and Aladdin, who sometimes change wardrobes, by the way. Sometimes they're in their street rat and princess clothes, and sometimes they're in their very fancy clothes. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, Alice, the Mad Hatter, and the March Hare.
Yep.
Mary Poppins, I never saw any of her company with her, but I believe that they'd fill in a spot there at some point.
I know for a fact that the chimney sweeps are there, because I remember seeing them with their sticks on the Mark Twain.
I fully believe it, because I believe this is one of those shows where it's who's still here tonight that can go on the boat.
Okay.
I mean, some of these are obviously staples, because they were on every time. Donald obviously is on there next to Minnie. Tiana, who's replaced the spot that Pocahontas used to use. I didn't see her any of the newer ones, but I don't know if she comes back. Aurora, sometimes Prince Philip. Chip and Dale.
Oh.
Cinderella and her mice. They were consistently there. And in the back, like you said, Woody, Jesse, Buzz, and a pair of army men.
Army men.
I said that.
You did. So you added a couple. I didn't see any with Baloo, Stitch, Daisy, Tarzan, Jane, the Country Bears, Pooh, Tigger, Pinocchio, or Geppetto. But I believe that they might show up at some point. Just not in the recordings or any of the live viewings that I remember. Mm-hmm. So crazy how many character spottings you can do with our favorite Sailor Doc, Donald. Had to get the tribute in since, you know, it is his birth month. Probably one of the best months to be born, in my very biased opinion.
Should have remembered Chip and Dale, too.
What a great list. One of my favorite things about that last question is how many characters are brought together. Just like a lot of people come together in Trivia Land and give us great questions to stump TNT, or let them surprise themselves and feel really good when their powers combine. You can send producer Vern and I trivia questions for us to ask. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.